Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show. My name is Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, best-selling author, and international speaker. My career in broadcast and digital media spans over 20 years. As past medical director for Discovery Health Channel, I've had multiple appearances on Oprah, Dr. Oz, and CNN, and my TED Talks have reached 2.5 million people. For the last several years, I've been helping other doctors, dentists, healers, and coaches from around the world to share their messages with global audiences through personal branding, publishing, online courses, and media training. And what makes this combination unique is that I am bringing my 20 years of expertise as a professional speaker and coaching other people on their TED-style talks. So I know what it takes to craft a keynote, a TED Talk, and even workshop presentations so that you communicate your message with confidence and clarity. Hello, hello, beautiful soul. Welcome to this live masterclass. I am your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. You can type in the chat, let me know where you are watching from, because today we have a lot of material, as usual, to get through in this discussion about adverse childhood experiences. So I am, as you just heard in the intro, I am an integrative physician, a trauma-trained recovery coach. And the reason I'm doing this is there are so many health conditions and mental health challenges that are caused by adverse childhood experiences that more people need to know about. Because sometimes if you are dealing with psychological issues or physical health issues and you're going the traditional allopathic medicine route and you're not getting results, this information may be the key to your true healing and recovery. So who this masterclass is for is, number one, if you happen to be someone who needs healing, then this is for you. I'm saying that because if you're living with an illness that you know is aggravated by stress or was caused by stress or developmental trauma, then this is for you. If you are a parent, then this masterclass will help you understand how you can best support your children so that they do not end up with post-traumatic stress disorder or any of the other illnesses. And this masterclass is also very useful for other coaches, doctors, therapists, healers, so that you have an understanding of exactly what happens in our body and our brain when we experience toxic stress. So from attending this masterclass, there are a few things that you will leave with. You will leave with an understanding of why I say healing is absolutely possible, even if you endured some of the worst forms of trauma or abuse. You'll also understand how positive childhood experiences can help you avoid these illnesses. And finally, you will leave much more empowered, much more able to actually take effective action. And that's what we all need, right? We all want to be empowered to avoid as much illness as we possibly can. So I'm going to jump right into it. I'm going to be sharing some slides. So I don't see anything in the chat just yet, but if you have questions, you can certainly type in a message, and I will see it, and I will answer. So I'm going to be sharing the screen. And for those of you that really like to have slides, if you email me, I'm happy to share the slides with you. I'm going to go pretty fast so that I have some time for questions. So if you need anything, just type it in the chat. And I'm actually looking for my chat window here. And voila, where is it? Okay, so I'm not seeing it at the moment, but that's okay. I trust that as soon as you send me a message, maybe if there's anyone watching, send me a message so that I can see the little pop-up window. All right. Well, welcome. Welcome, my dear friends. All right, so I'm going to get right into it. So once again, I want to welcome you to this masterclass on the adverse childhood experiences. If you haven't heard of them, sometimes we refer to them as ACEs. In this masterclass, we're going to explore what the original ACEs are and what the new categories are. You're going to learn about the long-term effects of childhood adversity. We'll also answer the question, why is it that some people do better than others? People raised in the same toxic families have different outcomes. I'll explain why. And how does toxic stress in childhood impact the body's organs, our hormone system, and the brain? And what we can do today to help heal, to prevent these effects, and what we can do to build resilience. Now, today is the first in a series of four masterclasses. Today we're covering ACEs. Our next one will be about the positive childhood experiences. Then we'll talk about how to build the top 10 traits of resilience. And our fourth masterclass is on holistic healing and how trauma recovery works. All right, so typically when we think about ACEs, we're looking at abuse, neglect, and family dysfunction or household dysfunction. But there are 10 categories in the original study that came out of CDC and Kaiser Permanente in the United States. And so looking first at maltreatment, this is emotional abuse, physical abuse, or sexual abuse. That also includes emotional or physical neglect, which are actually more represented in terms of adverse childhood experiences, and I'll explain. Household adversity. When we look at that, what we're looking at is, did you grow up in a home where you saw your mother treated violently? Was there anyone in the home who abused substances or drugs and alcohol? Was there someone in your home who had mental illness, whether it was diagnosed or not? And also growing up in a home where there was parental separation, either due to divorce or death, that's an ACE. Having a family member, a household member who was incarcerated, so having someone living in prison. And did you grow up in the care of a foster family or another relative outside of your immediate family? These 10 things are what the original ACE quiz that you can find on my website. Those are the essentials that they looked at in the ACE study. So if you'd like to find out your ACE score, you can take this free quiz. It's the Adverse Childhood Experience score. It is on my website. All right? Now, the other thing for us to think about are the more recent additions to this list. Now, there are people who are advocating, and we're actually, there are studies showing that it's not just those maltreatment and neglect, but it's also discrimination. So racism, gender-based violence, ableism, homophobia, transphobia, etc. We're also recognizing that social and environmental pressures can create a toxic stress environment for children that lead to these long-term health problems. So these include extreme poverty, being a family member of someone who survived the war. If you're witnessing and sort of in bathing in a community where there's violence, if you happen to be in a zone where there was a natural disaster, if you are a family descendant of someone who is a survivor of the Holocaust or genocide, and if there has been intergenerational oppression, as we've seen with slavery, All of these are also considered adverse childhood experiences, and they can impact adult health. So, moving right along. So, you've probably heard before that there are a number of conditions that are linked with toxic stress and ACEs. So what we know is that if you've had four or more of those ACEs, you're three times likely to have lung disease or be a smoker, 14 times more likely to attempt suicide. If you have four or more ACEs, you're 4.5 times more likely to develop depression. I was in that camp. My ACE score is 4, and I definitely lived with depression. Having four or more ACEs increases your risk of being an IV drug user, more likely to be sexually promiscuous, and more likely to have liver disease. So we're going to get into the mechanism of why. But basically what we know is that when you have these adverse childhood experiences at the base, and again, even below that could be intergenerational stuff, you know, family trauma that's been passed down, we know that those adverse childhood experiences disrupt our brain development. That leads to social, emotional, and cognitive impairment. And that ends up leading to health risk behaviors or self-harm behaviors. And then later that shows up as disease, disability, and social problems, and even early death. And so the reason that I'm talking about this is because I didn't even find out about this study until well into my medical career, even though the original ACE study happened while I was still in medical school back in 1998. So we need more people to know about it because a lot of that stuff, like growing up in a divorced home, you know, some of these other things, we kind of just brush it under the rug like it's just totally normal, like so many people are dealing with it, and yet not putting together the link between our health challenges. So I don't know if you saw my little video about this, but I'm going to let the lovely Sandra D give you the list of these conditions that are linked with adverse childhood experiences.
High levels of trauma, abuse, dysfunction, and discrimination lead to an increased risk of alcoholism and substance abuse, allergies, Alzheimer's, anorexia, anxiety, arthritis, asthma, autoimmune disease, acting out behaviors, binge eating, cancer, chronic fatigue syndrome, compulsive shopping, gambling, overeating, criminality, depression, diabetes, fibromyalgia, heart disease, high blood pressure, poor immune function, infertility, lung disease, liver disease, early mortality, osteoporosis, premature aging, relationship difficulty, smoking, sexual risk behavior, suicide, and violence.
That's a lot, right? Now I've added a few more to the list. It's important that you are aware of this because if you've been suffering with any of these conditions and you know that you had something in your past and you know that maybe you're a little more fragile or triggered, then this could be the key to your healing. So, why do some people do better than others? Well, there's this concept of the social determinants of health. And if you're a public health person, you already know this. But what we're talking about is, did a child have safe housing and transportation and safe neighborhoods? Were they exposed to violence, discrimination, or racism? What about in their environment? Were there opportunities for jobs and income and education? Access to nutritious foods, physical activity? Did they have clean air and water or not? And language and literacy skills are also social determinants of health. So these are the things that policymakers are working toward, and pediatricians and other healthcare providers. But here's the thing, we're going to have an entire masterclass about positive childhood experiences. But just to give you a clue, there are 7 things that when we look at your risk for developing some of those illnesses we just talked about, if you had the ability to talk to your family about your feelings, that is considered a positive childhood experience that can counteract or serve as a buffer for the toxic stress. So if you were a child and a parent was an alcoholic or someone was abusive or a parent died, did you have the ability to talk to someone? Or unfortunately, so many people grew up in families, myself included, where it was like, you don't talk. You don't talk about your feelings. You don't talk about our business to other people. And that is you know, a detriment to us when we have to regulate our nervous system as children. Did you feel that your family stood by you during difficult times? That would be a positive experience if you felt that you had family support. Did you enjoy participating in community traditions and rituals? These could be things like holidays or other festivities. That is a positive buffer. Feeling a sense of belonging in high school. This is a tricky one because adolescence is the time when we're really trying to differentiate ourselves, and many of us struggle, at least I did. Feeling supported by friends. That's a positive childhood experience. So again, if you know that your child is being bullied and doesn't fit in school, then you've got to find some of these other positive experiences to have. Having at least two non-parent adults who took a genuine interest in you. So that could be an aunt, it could be a teacher or a coach or some other mentor, but that's a really important positive experience. Feeling safe and protected by an adult. That's a critical positive childhood experience. And we'll get into why these things impact the brain the way that they do. All right, so now let's look at a little bit about how stress, resilience, and post-traumatic growth are intertwined. Ultimately, we all want to end up with post-traumatic growth, but what we're always faced with is this sort of a seesaw between stressful and toxic events or abuse and neglect and the positive ones. And so ultimately, there are three ways that we respond or react to stress. One is we can survive, but we're not really thriving. We get sick. And this is when that stress overwhelms the system, or you don't have enough buffers in your system that you end up with PTSD or chronic illness, as we mentioned in the previous slides. Now, you could also survive your toxic childhood and just kind of arrive at a baseline. That's resilience. And we'll talk about that in depth in our third masterclass. And the third way that we react to toxic stress and adversity in childhood is we can adapt. We can actually end up thriving and spring forward, evolving with post-traumatic growth. So I'm going to take you in this four-part series into getting into that range of post-traumatic growth where you can bounce forward and not just bounce back. So ultimately, there are three types of stress that we talk about when we're looking at the human animal. First off, here's a little definition. In our terms, we look at stress as a mental, physical, and biochemical response to a perceived threat or demand. Okay? So we can respond positively, like a little bit of mild stress, as long as you've got a good attachment and relationship there, it's fine. So you might have a mild elevation of your stress hormones. That's going to increase your heart rate. It's going to increase your respiration. So positive stress could be, you're going to take an exam or, you're playing a soccer game or something. And that's fine because it's brief, gives you a little bit of an immune boost, and you could actually end up with resilience because we need to stress the system a little bit. And for young people, for babies, for example, as long as there's a good attachment figure, going to the doctor, for example, could be a positive stressor because it's temporary. You're going to come back down from it. So that's positive stress. Now, the other type of stress is what we consider just tolerable. There's a serious threat or demand. It's temporary, and it's buffered or buffeted by a supportive relationship. So in this case, it's tolerable. We are going to see the stress response system kick in with heart rate, all of those things. But because you've got the presence of a positive compassion figure, as I call them, this compassionate relationship, then you can actually adapt. So even though the stress response system was up and tweaked, it's temporary, even though it may last a little bit longer. And so in this category, it could be the death of a family member. It could be that there was a natural disaster We're kind of getting on the edge, you know, with this coronavirus pandemic and all of the isolation that we're living with. It could be an injury. You know, an injury is a stress to the system. You know, having your leg in a cast or your arm in a sling, discrimination, divorce. These are things that if it's still temporary, but it's quite serious. As long as you have a compassionate adult, you can buffer that. Now, the third type is what you'll hear me talking about a lot, and that is toxic stress. This is when you've got strong, frequent, uncontrollable, prolonged adversity. This is where we are talking about physical or emotional abuse, sexual abuse, or neglect. And so when you have this prolonged activation of our stress response system, that's when we start to see that it impacts brain development. That's when we know that there are risks to our immune system, to the cardiovascular system as well. And so this kind of toxic stress could be living with a family member who's abusing substances or has mental illness, because it's going to last for a much longer time in childhood. Exposure to violence, poverty is considered one of them. And so we know that all of these lead to these illnesses, these stress-related illnesses, heart disease, alcoholism. Well, you've heard the list, right? You've got where we're going. All right, so next up, how does toxic stress affect us physically? So I mentioned that we see things going on this trajectory with at the base, this adverse childhood experiences. But if you look at this arrow on the left, it says epigenetic. And that means it's actually the toxic stress can actually impact our genes and our DNA. There's also this intergenerational transmission. So let's get into it. How does toxic stress affect us? It affects the brain and the neurological system. There's the epigenetic impact I talked about, the hormone system, our immune system, the cardiovascular system, even our telomeres, which are little end caps on your DNA. So we'll take these one by one before I open up to questions, all right? So first off, brain and neurological impact. All right, so the first thing that we really have to look at is when you were in the womb. And new research is also looking at the entire perinatal period. So perinatal means around natal, meaning birth. So we're even looking at the months before your mother conceived. If there was stress and adversity, and if she herself grew up with a toxic environment, she has already got her eggs were already impacted by that stress. So when we start to think about children, we start to look at the mom. Does she have any stress going on with her right now? If she's enduring any sort of traumatic experience, then we know that her stress hormones are elevated and they're crossing through that placenta straight to the baby, which means it's going to impact their hormone system, the HPA axis, which is our hypothalamus, pituitary, and adrenals. We know that it's going to impact the limbic system, which is our sort of emotional detection part of the brain, which regulates or helps to regulate our alertness with emotions, the autonomic nervous system as well. So if a caregiver, particularly a mom, had a hard time with her pregnancy, she's going to have a hard time regulating her own stress hormones and emotions, and that can impact the baby. It's certainly, if mother experienced any adversity, it's going to affect her bonding relationship. And so all of that can impact a little one. So if we look at this closely, think about this from birth to age 3, okay? We know that we're going through like incredible brain development. So after we've looked at preconception to birth, we're looking at mom, we're looking at the family history of trauma, then we look at from birth to 3 years. With those rapid growth of millions of connections in the brain, I mean literally every second, our brains are developing and then they start to prune away certain connections. There's all sorts of neuron-to-neuron connections and network connections happening across brain regions. And so it's very important in that birth to 3 years that we have an attuned caregiver. And just think of it as tuning in. What babies need is they need something called serve and return. And that's when you're kind of cooing to the baby, and the baby will look and orient toward you and will eventually start to babble and will reach for you. And that serving and return is an interaction that is crucial for brain development. And so we need a caregiver to be attuned to this little baby, especially in those first couple of years. We also need the caregiver to be responsive. That means when baby cries, baby gets picked up or fed or their diaper changed or burped or whatever they need. Maybe they need a warmer blanket, or maybe they need less blankets. We need that caregiver to be responsive, because the parts of the brain that are impacted by the parts of our brain that direct our own emotional regulation and our own stress regulation, that we learn it from a caregiver, and those parts of the brain develop based on the caregiving. So why am I stressing this so much? Because if you happen to be a colicky baby, for example, and maybe you were crying all the time and through the night, then you may find that, you may find that you were left in the crib. You know, back in the day, they used to just say, oh, you're going to spoil a baby if you hold her too much. Just let her cry it out. And so if we didn't have a responsive caregiver, now get it, believe me, I get it. My daughter was nursing every 2 hours for the first 9 months, and she wasn't sleeping through the night. It was hell. If you leave babies to cry it out, though, and they're not getting that responsiveness, it can impact the brain. So it's really, really, really important that we have this, because we ultimately need to be able to calm down ourselves and learn to regulate. Now, the thing that most people are not aware of is, of course, we think that physical, emotional, and sexual abuse is awful. But did you know that 70 to 80% of the maltreatment, so mistreatment of children and ACEs, 70 to 80% of it is unresponsive care and neglect? And that's why I'm talking about it, because if you happen to be a mom, like I was a single mom, so imagine trying to do everything yourself. You're exhausted, not sleeping, and a crying baby, you know, who is colicky. It's a perfect setup for either abuse or neglect. Fortunately, I had someone step in who saw me struggling and provided support. And oh my God, it was like a godsend. But if babies don't get responsive care, it can lead to cognitive delays, stunted physical growth. They have a hard time regulating themselves. It can lead to attention deficits. And again, we're still talking about babies here. Behavioral disorders in childhood, anxiety and depression, as well as an increased risk of having interpersonal problems, poor impulse control. All of the personality disorders are associated with people who've had unresponsive caregivers or neglect. Poor executive function, which is, you know, decision making and impulse control, and also low high school graduation. So these are the things that the studies have shown us, that these are very, very important times for brain development, and it doesn't stop there. When we get to adolescence, we have another explosive time of brain development and brain chemistry going off. And again, if our babies were not well attended to, then as an adolescent, when they're flooded with emotions and hormones and, you know, feeling kind of chaotic, they need to learn how to self-regulate. And if they didn't, then self-regulation becomes a problem. And that's often when we see teenagers doing crazy things, drugs, alcohol, sex, you know, extremely dangerous sports and the like. In adolescence, if you haven't manage to develop those brain centers, you can have your stress response system, which is hyper tweaked such that you feel anxious at the littlest thing, or it takes an even longer time to calm down after something stressful happens. So let's look at genetics, or epigenetics. I'm going to just check again to see if there are any questions that have come in. Hang on. A comments. I'm not seeing my comment window. I don't know what's going on. All right, well, we're going to get into epigenetics. So I'm not going to bore you with all of the details, but suffice it to say that if you had some sort of toxic stress in your life, it can actually affect your DNA, your genes. And so what we're talking about is DNA methylation. You don't really care, but the gene that regulates like blood sugar or blood glucose gets impacted. It can toxic stress can cause some genes to be activated and others to be deactivated. There happens to be this neurotrophic receptor that will actually alter the neuron's structure, and that happens in response to toxic stress. And the myelin basic protein gene gets altered. So you don't care about all of those details, but just understand that it's affecting your DNA on the deepest level of your cells. And when we add into that intergenerational trauma, we can see now why in families there is an increased risk of heart disease, diabetes. You know, even if you, that person didn't have the toxicity in their childhood, but they're a descendant of someone who did, they can have all of these things. And it's because it's transmitted genetically. It's not just what you experienced in your environment, it's in your genes. And Almina, yes, being born premature is a type of stress. As long as you're being cared for, I don't know that I would, I mean, it certainly is a toxic stress if there were like infections, but being cared for in an incubator in a hospital where all of your needs are taken care of, it's generally not toxic stress because they're looking after you and monitoring you just like it would have been if you were in your mommy's tummy where everything gets done automatically. So when we start to look at the hormone system, we're talking about this HPA axis. That's the hypothalamus and the pituitary and the adrenals. You don't really care so much about where these hormones come from, but we do need to understand that you get dysregulation of it. And so you might be feeling super tweaked, like anxious. And however that happens for you, it could be butterflies in your stomach, it could be tension in your muscles, a sense of panic, it could be your heart is racing. This dysregulated HPA means you're going to have high cortisol, which is your fight or flight stress response, which we need. But if you end up with chronic stress over time, you have a decreased cortisol, which means you don't have the oomph to fight off infections or other stressors when they do come to you. And it also, you end up having this there's a blood sugar dysregulation that happens with high cortisol. Is there anybody out there who, when you get really stressed, you find yourself like binging on either sweets or fatty snacks? And that's when you've had your HPA axis has been tweaked and your glucocorticoid response to the stress hormone makes you have those cravings. So really important stuff to know. I want you to know it so that you know what's going on. And ultimately, we'll give you the tools to get out of these systems. I won't belabor this point too much because it's quite technical, but toxic stress does impact the immune system and our cardiovascular system. Again, it's by having this HPA, this fight or flight system activated, the sympathetic nervous system, which gets everything into fight and go mode, and that's not good for the heart over time. Ultimately, I know for those of you who want the slides, just send me an email. But ultimately, what we know is that early life stress is going to activate the HPA and the sympathetic nervous system, which increases inflammation in the body. So maybe you've heard of this C-reactive protein. It's one of the things that we doctors will check to test how inflamed you are, because inflammation inside the body can lead to so many different types of diseases, including impacting the arteries and leading to heart disease. So yeah, you get it, right? So finally, we're going to talk about telomeres. And for those of you who don't know, telomeres, you see those little red things on top of the chromosome? Some of us call them, think of them as like the little aglets that fit on your shoelaces. So normally our chromosome, our DNA is all wound up, but when the cell needs to divide, our DNA unwinds and it makes a copy of itself. And those little end caps protect the DNA so that all of the sequences are there. Toxic stress ends up wearing away those little red tips, those telomeres, which makes it more likely that when that cell tries to replicate those DNA strands, it can make a mistake. And so the cells that it makes could either be cancerous or they could just be defective and the body kills them off. So toxic stress can affect our telomeres. We know that adults with a high ACE score, 4 and up, have shortened telomeres, and that's why they have premature aging. Got it? All right, so that's enough about the nerdy stuff. Now, what is it we can do today? The first thing is to break the silence. So many of us have grown up in families where we don't talk. You were told to not even feel your feelings or to not trust your feelings and not trust other people. And so what I've been doing, I didn't intend for this to happen. I didn't intend for my career to go on about talking about my family, but here we are. We have to break the silence so that people can get the healing that they need. Now, ultimately, that means you might need to speak to a therapist or a trauma-trained coach, but breaking the silence or a trusted friend. It could be a pastor or a trusted friend, but breaking the silence is the first thing that gets us out of denial, out of isolation, and into healing. Let's see here. Dun-da-da-da. I'm going to have to reconnect. The iPad is misbehaving. Got stuck. So is this making sense to you? I'm going to check. I did find my chat window. Thank you very much. Thank you, Shav. Good to know that you love learning about telomeres. That's good. And good to see you, Callie, Trevor. Awesome. Good to know you all are here. And Fatima, awesome. Good to have you. All right, let's see if our iPad is behaving and playing nicely again. All right, so what else can we do today? Well, connecting with a support group is helpful. Some of you have heard that I recently just finished a 6-week program, Stories with Soul, where many of us were, for the first time, breaking the silence and getting healing in a supportive group. It's also very helpful to join a 12-step fellowship, so that you don't have to recover alone. If you do have a high ACE score, then we begin by reparenting ourselves. And yes, you can do it. Just as we talk about neuroplasticity is this one of the hot topics of the decade, it's not only just learning new habits and learning new things, we can actually repair some of the damage from our faulty and dysfunctional homes. So reparenting yourself is a way that you can recover. Ultimately, it's about connecting with and identifying with your own loving parent, an inner parent. Most of us are familiar with the inner critic, but what if you could install and nurture your own inner loving parent? This is really what helps create. And again, we're going to talk about post-traumatic growth and how we get from just basic resilience to growth. And reparenting ultimately means that you end up with a complete identity. Because for many of us who lived with trauma or family dysfunction, we didn't develop our original true identity. We ended up putting on masks and becoming people pleasers or codependents. You know, we became the good girl or the hero or the scapegoat. Like, we took on these adaptive behaviors, survival mechanisms, masks, roles. How many other ways can I say it? But all of that is the false self. And so by reparenting, we get back in connection with our authentic self and bring it to the forefront. Part of reparenting also involves grieving your past. And again, for people who've heard, like, you know, it's over, just get over it. There is evidence that shows that these experiences from our childhood are lodged in our cells, our tissues, our muscles, our bones, our brains. And so through reparenting, we need to actually go through the grief process. And if you are someone who has see chronic PTSD, if you have a flooded energy system, you might need to do this with a therapist or a coach so that you can move through this denial to awakening to grieving and healing process. And we're going to talk about that in the fourth masterclass on holistic healing with all of the various modalities that I recommend that you get in touch with. So healing your trauma is important because you don't want to continue to pass it down. You can also build resilience. So even though you may have gotten wounded, you still have the capacity for resilience. And we're going to talk about that in our third masterclass. Now, what can parents do today? Our next masterclass, next Thursday, is on the positive childhood experiences. Now, I talked about that list of seven. I'm going to talk to you more about how and why they work to counteract stress. So we need more positive childhood experiences. And if you're a parent, yes, you need to heal your trauma so that you're not passing it down the line, so that you can regulate your nervous system and teach your children to do the same. And if you're a coach, a healer, a therapist, a doctor, then ultimately what we need to do today is to aim for holistic healing, which means you don't just look at someone as some number on a scale or a diagnosis. They are a whole person. And so holistically, we look at mind, body, soul, relationships, and environment. So it's not just about nutrition and just about exercise or just about self-care. It's about all of that. And ultimately, if you are not trauma-trained or trauma-informed, then refer your clients to trauma-trained therapists and coaches so that they can go through this healing process. I can't tell you how many people I have heard who've been in therapy, who've been to see multiple doctors and therapists, but they get to a difficult part in the recovery and the therapist doesn't know how to deal with it, so the person just shuts down and ends up carrying it on and on and on. And that's a tragedy because there are fabulous therapists around the world who are, you'll hear this, okay, holistic healing, fourth masterclass, it's on June 3rd. So if you signed up for this one, you'll get a reminder about the upcoming ones as well. Now there are also some wonderful resources that will help you. I have recently published a book, Holistic Healing, Life After Trauma. These two are compilation books of several authors who shared their story of overcoming some adverse childhood experiences and traumas and how they've done it. The Top 10 Traits of Highly Resilient People is also a group book. I've included myself and my story, and there are several others of authors who've shared how their adversity has been turned into resilience and even post-traumatic growth. And of course, my book, The Real Self-Love Handbook, includes the five-step process that I use for recovering from trauma, liberating your authentic self, and creating an epic life full of resilience in alignment with your values. So those are some helpful resources. You can check them out at andreapennington.com. And every month, I lead a live monthly coaching call with a guided meditation to help you connect with the various parts of yourself and heal. It's on the second Tuesday of the month. It's free. And when you sign up, you get access to past sessions. You can download my guided meditations so that you can listen to them anytime you want. And there are several writing prompts, journal exercises, including this one, the three keys to becoming the hero of your life. This is an important one because as we're healing the body, we also have to reprogram the mind to get rid of the limiting beliefs and to install our original source code, which is you living a heroic life. And so this one includes my life writing exercise that's in the Real Self-Love Handbook and guided meditations. It's put together as a mini course. It's like a taster of Stories with Soul, which is my 6-week course. So get that. It's completely free. Visit andreapennington.com and then join us every month so that you can get some support and healing for free in community with a bunch of beautiful people from around the world. All right. Our next masterclass next week is on positive childhood experiences. And I'm going to tell you about hope for the future. And H-O-P-E, it spells out something in particular. So join us on Thursday, May 20th. It's totally free. And of course, if you sign up, then you'll get the reminders and the replays. And if you want the slides, you can just reply to the email and I'll give you the slides as well. And then on May 27th, the day after my daughter's birthday and the day after the total solar eclipse, or is it the lunar eclipse? Sorry. The top tips to build resilience. So based on my book, you can't see it, the top 10 traits of highly resilient people, I'm going to walk you through how you can actually build those top 10 traits, even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of chaos. And the way I like to say it is all of us are being called to build a parachute of resilience while we're free falling from an airplane, you know, hurtling towards the earth. The good news is you actually can do it. And especially important if you happen to have a high ACE score, you've had experiences of trauma or adversity, join us for that on May 27th. And then our fourth masterclass in this series is all about holistic healing. And I'm going to share what I've learned in 23 years as an integrative physician and acupuncturist doing trauma recovery and addiction work. I'm going to share the framework that has worked for me and my patients. And you'll hear about the different modalities that work. So there you have it, my friends. Was this good for you? Did you learn something new? Or was this stuff that you just totally knew before? Feel free to chime in. Do you have any questions? Because I do have a few more minutes before my next class. I'm so grateful that you tuned in for this masterclass. I want more people to be aware of adverse childhood experiences so that we can get the healing that we need. And healing is possible. We can recover. We can build these neural networks associated with compassion. We can actually use whatever happened in our life back then or in the last year and 2 months of the pandemic. We can use this as a springboard towards post-traumatic growth or evolution. Make sense? And Shekinah, I will put the link, I will put the link in the description of this video, if you'll just hang on just a second. But that would have been really clever of me to have that ready to go. But I will get that for you. So I can, if you at least sign up for the one that's in the description for this video, I will send out a reminder about the next one. So no worries. Yes, Almena, you can do the work with these tools. You absolutely can for yourself, for your clients, for your children, for the planet. The more of us who heal, who face these challenges and heal from them, the greater the likelihood that our planet will continue on its trajectory towards healing and recovery. We are all on this journey together. None of us is alone. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. And I see a question from Callie. Callie says, do things that happen from outside the family count as an ACE score? Our family had polio before I was 4. Yes, that's an absolute ACE. So when you take the quiz, even though it's not really a mental illness, if you take the ACE quiz that's on my website, you could just answer yes to the question about somebody in the family having a health challenge, a mental health challenge. I'm going to update the ACE quiz to include all of the other things, such as experiencing poverty, discrimination, and other family toxicity. But yeah, that would be another ACE. All right, any other questions? Now, I know I talk fast, so did I go too fast? Please make sure that you go take the ACE quiz at innatevitality.com, and you'll be signed up then as well to get some further resources. On the exciting side of things, we have a new resilience quiz coming at the beginning of June. So the resilience quiz will help you have an overall resilience score, so you can find out how resilient are you according to the top 10 traits of highly resilient people. And it will tell you what you can do to build up each of these 10 things. So if you like having an in-depth report on you, that is coming. But join me for these other masterclasses. It's going to be a really content-packed month of sessions with me. I appreciate you being here. I'm so grateful for all of your comments and showing up as usual. If you have additional questions, once you've signed up for this one, hit reply to the email and I will update the description for this video so that you can sign up for the additional 3 masterclasses. Please know this, my friend, you're not a lost cause. If you've been dealing with illnesses that if other people have said, maybe it's in your head, it's not just in your head. It's in your body. It's in your genes. And that's not meant to be a death sentence because there's a lot that we can do. And this first step of just awakening and becoming aware is an important one on the journey. So just know that you have my support, you have the support of our community, and you can heal. And I look forward to being a part of that healing journey. So thank you for tuning in. Until next time, remember that you are a gift to the world. So share your presence with passion. Much love, everyone. Thank you so much. I will have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Behavior and hacked motivation to empower people to transform their lives. Vitality Code Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, rate the podcast, and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's vitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series. Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.